Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is a podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And you have to understand, y'all, this is probably the most highly anticipated episode we've recorded so far, because not only is it going to feature one of the best well-known brokers in the industry, who is known not just for selling tons and tons of houses, but for his sharing heart and his ability to help other brokers get better. And that is the one and only Steve Westmark in Minnesota. Steve, thank you for appearing on the podcast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for inviting me.
So tell everybody how long you've been in real estate, where you're located, any of those fun tidbits.
Started 1973, just out of elementary school. And, college. And I work in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Twin Cities area. And we're doing this on a sunny December day, and we have snow on the ground.
Oh, you're supposed to in December, aren't you?
Of course. We always have white Christmases here.
So, Steve, let me tell you, there's only two rules for my podcast. And the first one is no F-bombs or GDs, because I'm allergic to those two words. But anything else pretty much goes. As you know, I have no filter. And the other rule is that don't give proper names to the guilty parties when the story has a guilty party, because we let them identify themselves. So with that being said, it's probably the most famous story in some real estate circles. So you got to tell people what happened to you once upon a time.
All right. Well, obviously, real estate agents like to do open houses. And I was planning my Sunday open house, running it from 1 to 4 on a Sunday afternoon. And I got behind, and I'm working to get there by 1 o'clock. I'm putting up my signs, running around, and I walk up to the house about 5 after 1. Luckily, no one is there. I'm scrambling, opening the lockbox, getting into the house, and I walk in the house, and my seller has not prepared the house. So I go, nobody's here. So I go into the kitchen, and sure enough, there's stuff on the countertop. So I clear off the countertop, put stuff into the sink and start cleaning up. And then I walk into the living room and there's a newspaper and stuff sitting in the living room. And I'm going, you know, it's just not show ready, but I'm going to make it as show ready as I can. Turn on lights, walking around the house, turning on the living room, dining room, kitchen, walking down the hallway to this cute little three-bedroom rambler that's a walkout basement on an acre and a half lot. And I get back to the, I open the one bedroom, turn on the light, second bedroom, open the light, the master bedroom, open the light, and the doorbell rings, but my seller is laying down on the bed sleeping. And I go, crap. So I close the door, I go to the front door, and I say, dear friends, thanks for coming to the open house. I've just got here. I'm sorry, I'm running behind. Not all the lights are on. My seller is here, but he is in his room sleeping. So we'll just walk through the house, and I'll let you peek in his room, and then we can see the rest of the house. So we walk through the house, and yes, we open the door, and he's still sleeping. Close the door behind him. We're walking around in the lower level, then walking down in the basement, turning on the lights, and I'm going, I'm not hearing any noise. This is not quite right, I don't think, but I'm not feeling real good about it. And I'm going, well, we'll finish. I'm turning out all the lights, and I walk the person out the front door, and I say, sir, just make sure you look at this lot. This is a phenomenal lot, and it can be subdivided into two lots. You could have your house and have a lot to sell in the future if you'd like to do that. So he takes off and goes around the back to look at the lot, and I go back into the house. And I go, well, I'm going to go back and see if I can wake up my seller. Well, I walk back to the bedroom, and he's facing the wall, and I walk up, and I just push on him, and I go, this isn't quite right. I think this guy is not doing well, or he's not alive. And so I walk directly into the kitchen, and I call 911, and I say, hello, this is Steve Westmark of Counselor Realty, and I'm having an open house, and my seller, I think, is passed away or is dead. They went, what? I said, well, my seller here, I checked on him. I'm having an open house. And where are you? And I go and I give the address and when did you get there? And I said, well, you know, around 1 o'clock. And well, would you go back and just check? And I said, oh, okay. So I hung up put the phone down and I walked back to the bedroom and I walked around to the front of the gentleman and he was not looking good. His face had some different colorations and I started pushing on him and yes, my seller had passed.
So hang on, the 911 dispatcher sent you back to verify he was dead?
They did verify. Oh. They did send me back to verify.
That is not good NCIS protocol. They don't watch enough TV.
Well, so I went back and I finished up my conversation. They said, "Well, we'll send the police out and you stay there you know, we'll send police on the way." Well, I'm just hanging up the phone and the doorbell rings. And so I walked to the front door and I go, "What am I going to do?" I go, "Well, welcome to my open house, but I'm closing down the open house. We've had a family emergency here and we're not going to have an open house today." And the guy says, "Well, I came from about 20 miles away in another suburb and I can I just walk through it real quick?" And I said, "No, it's just not a really good time to do that." He said, "Well, please just let me fly through. I came a long ways and stuff and I haven't been able to close the thing down." And he said, "Just let me go through." And I said, "Well, the family emergency is my seller is in the back room and he's dead." Guy goes, "Oh, so..." I walk him out into the front yard and we're standing out in the front yard. And obviously I'm not feeling so good about this whole thing. And I'm hearing sirens in the background and here comes another car driving in the driveway. And a guy walks up and he gets out of his car and he says, "Well, I'm here for an open house." And I said, "Well, that's great. But I have a family emergency here I'm closing the open house down." And he said, "Well, your signs are up." And I said, "Well, I haven't had time to take them down." And he said, "Well, I've come from a long way, and can I rush through the house just real quick just to see it?" And I said, "Well, no, my seller's inside, and he's dead." And he said, "Oh, well, then I can come and help you pick up the signs." And I said, "Well, that's great." Well, right about that time, the sirens and police just pull up in front of the house with the lights flashing, and I'm in this driveway, and around comes the guy from the back who was looking at the lot, and he goes, "What's going on here?" And I said, "Well, you know the guy that was back sleeping in the bedroom? He's dead." The policeman come and say to me, "Well, Mr. Westmark, can you come into the house with me?" And I said, "Yeah, I'd be glad to come in." So we walk in the house and he said, "Well, I need to ask you a few questions." I said, "Well, that's fine. When did you get there?" And I told him and, you know, what was going on. And he said, "And what have you touched in the house since you got here?" "Well, when I got here, I cleaned up the kitchen and I put some stuff in the sink and I checked certain stuff and then I went into the living room and I started turning on lights and I started cleaning up some of the papers." And I said, and started asking more questions. I said, "Why are you asking me all these questions?" And they said, "Well, Mr. Westmark, we're at a scene of a homicide and you're the chief suspect." So I go, "Oh, isn't that exciting?" So they continue to ask me questions and in come the paramedics. They're flying in with their sirens and walking in and asking to see where the bedroom is. And so they go back to the bedroom and they check on poor seller who had departed. And they confirm that he had been taking Tums for the tummy and it wasn't, you know, something wrong with his stomach. He had had a heart attack. And so then the police said to me, "Well, Mr. Westmark, that's okay. We will let you go now. You don't have to stay here any longer." And I went, "Well, that's good." So I happen to know that I got this referral from a gentleman in a church that I knew, and I knew the pastor of the church. So I called the pastor, and I called to say to him, "Well, I have some bad news for you. One of your parishioners has passed away, and let's just say his name was John. John's passed away, and I just thought I'd let you know that." And he said, "Oh, thank you so much for telling me." And I said, I have one other question. Do you have any free time this afternoon?" And he said, "Well, yeah, I would." I said, "Well, can I come over and just talk to you? I just have not ever run into this before in my life." So that's what happened. And so that's my story of an open house.
Well, I mean, I guess it's a good thing he had those good natural causes because your fingerprints were all over the guy. And you know, all the times we as realtors hold open houses, I mean, it's a 50-50 crapshoot on whether you'll have any guests or not. And of course, this wasn't going to be your open house that nobody bothers to show up at. Of course, it's a busy one.
It was a good one, and luckily the signs got taken down, and I didn't have to explain it anymore after that.
And being a good realtor, we have to ask, did the house finally sell as an estate sale, or did you lose the listing? How did it wind up on the real estate side?
Well, the wonderful thing about it is this gentleman, he was a wonderful single guy, never married, and he died without a will. So it had to go through probate, but the family was so grateful to me and the things that I had done during the process to help him that they did give me back the listing 6 months later, and I was able to sell the house, but I didn't sell it to any one of those three guys that came through the open house.
Well, they had probably bought something else in the meantime, because that just happened.
That's right.
So this is truly the mark of not just a veteran in the business, but how a professional handles things. You could have locked up and abandoned the open house, and he might not have been discovered for three or four more days, or you could have run off when the police came and been scared of getting in trouble, but there you were, and kept things together, and even got the preacher involved. That's the best part.
Well, it was good, and yes, and I was so grateful to be able to have counsel, you know, just working through that. It is a sad thing to see somebody who's passed, and to be the one that discovers it is very interesting.
It's like that movie Stand By Me. Do you remember that movie from the 80s with the boys that found the dead body and then they were never the same because they'd seen the dead body?
Yes.
So, Steve, thank you for coming on the show and sharing the story of the open house you'll never, ever forget. If anybody's listening to this and they need an amazing professional realtor who's seen it all, honestly has seen it all, how can they find you and your awesome team in the Minneapolis market?
Well, the website's pretty easy to remember. Well, I got two websites, but they're all the same. One is just TwinCitiesUSA.com or my name, SteveWestmark.com. And, of course, my cell and emails and all that kind of stuff is there. And, you know, we'd be glad to help anybody with people moving in or moving out. Love working with CRSs. Just sent a CRS referral out this morning to Las Cruces, New Mexico. So it's a wonderful business to be able to have so many friends throughout the United States to do business with and to be able to refer on good business and also to receive great business.
Which is why if you're a consumer listening to this, you definitely want to call a professional realtor, especially a realtor at home, who could help you when you're moving out of the area. Because as Steve mentions, we know great people throughout the country and can make sure that you're not flying blind or, I mean, honestly, stumbling into an open house with dead people without a good realtor by your side, because you should have your realtor with you at all times. I will include all of Steve's contact information in the show notes for this episode, so if you are riding down the road or riding your Harley, you don't need to pull off and write this down. You can access the show notes, and please reach out to Steve for any of your needs in Minneapolis, St. Paul. And if you're a realtor, broker, lender, investor, inspector, or a consumer who's listening to this show and you have your own crazy story to share, and frankly, I dare you to top this one, please message me and I'll be glad to feature you on the show. Subscribe for more episodes and remember that real estate is always best with a professional by your side because it never, ever looks like those HGTV shows. We will see you guys next time.
For joining us this week on the Crazy Shit in Real Estate podcast. If you liked what you heard, please visit crazyshitinrealestate.com where you can access the full show notes for this episode, additional content produced exclusively for listeners, and much, much more.